what does this in the Sechus Yidamus, which was a basic principle that relates to Geiros, is that a Geir Tzor Shlosha. That a Geir cannot be a guy by no living out. No, it can't be a guy just time on his own. It can't be a guy in front of one person. It can't be a guy in front of two people. It has to be a guy in front of three people as a day. Then, to Siv Mishpo, says the word, So the Rishayim point out, if you look at the Gemara, there are actually two different sofa mishpat that appear by Geiros. One is Mishpat Echad Yilachem Bagir Agar Yitchem, and one is Mishpatzdem, Benishim, Ben Achim, Ben Geiros. So the nice combination of these psukim is there's a din of Mishpat, there's a requirement to Beis Din. The Beis Din is defined by three. So we really have to break down the sugya, this major component of Geiros, into two different categories. We have to first understand what exactly is a Beis Din, who qualifies to be on a Beis Din, what is the definition of a Beis Din. Then number two, what exactly is the Beis Din supposed to be doing? What is their role? What are they supposed to be watching? How are they supposed to be watching, etc. So the two sugyas are going to start to overlap a little bit, but let's first define just the very Beis Din. So the good news is that many of us are learning Masechet Sanhedrin this year, so we probably, I don't know if you guys learned Sanhedrin, but I learned Sanhedrin. So some of the sugyas of Beis Din obviously come up at the very beginning of the Masechta, and a lot of it impacts upon what we're about to discuss. So the Gemara made the jump to say Geir Tzor Shlosha Mishpat Sivei. The Gemara is working with the assumption that the definition of a Beis Din means at least three. I mean, we could theoretically require 23 or 71, but that's something we don't say. So at least three has to be. So the Gemara is quick to point out in the Yevamos and Sanhedrin and Kedusha and wherever the sugya appears. So Tosfos keeps on asking the same kasha. Tosfos says it's not exactly true that a Beis Din requires three. Anyone who learned the very beginnings of the Masechet Sanhedrin may remember that some din in Torah require three. Other din in Torah may not require three. The Gemara, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin differentiates between different types of din in Mamonos. All of din in Mamonos can be broken down into two categories. What we call Gezeilos v'Chavalos, and what we call Hodos v'Hodos. Gezeilos v'Chavalos means literally either I rob you or I beat you up, cases of that nature. And Hodos v'Hodos means I lend you money, I'm buying and selling, those kinds of halachas. Those who, I don't know if anyone here is planning on going to law school or is in law school, but I did not go to law school, but my roommate went to law school, so I used to read his law books. So I remember he had two books on the table the whole first year. One was called torts and one was called contracts. So torts is what we call an outlink of a comma, and contracts what we call government tier of a master. So for the most part. So torts is the sales for chavos. It means I beat you up, I steal something from you, my animal got damaged, you do that, so those are the Muslims you kid. And then the contracts, all those well boss. I agree to sell you $100 worth of potatoes, we're splitting up a shukfas, etc. I'm lending you money, I'm washing them for you. Those are contracts. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin of the Beis that midaraisa, according to some opinions, there's a real difference between the two. In terms of the Mishra HaDayan. Zelos v'chavolos, everybody agrees, requires three dayanim. That's not negotiable. It's not with Zephim Sukhi, with Tashis Mishpatim. But whether or not Hodos v'chavolos also require three dayanim in a Torah is not true at all. So one opinion in the Gemara is that v'deraisa chad nami kosher. The Min HaTorah, v'tzedek tishpat amisecha, even one person can don Hodos v'chavolos. The Mishnah says, Dina Ramas B'shloshe, that's v'derabon. But ne'ikim mitradin, v'deraisa, so dayan echad is kosher for Hodos v'chavolos. And the other day in the Gemara says, Lahoyu Dvar Mihom, it's not true. The Midaraisa, everything needs Dini Mamanus Mishleish, it's a Dini Daraisa, look, I'll be all Dini Atar, all Dini Mamanus. You cannot have Dini Mamanus with less than three Dayanus. Machlaikis in the Amarayim, Machlaikis in the Rishon HaPaskin. What is the Dini Midaraisa? What's the model number of Dayanim for Dini Tarim in Atarim? Zelos Vachavos Mishwan, three. Hodos Vachavos, maybe three, maybe. So come Taisis and ask Kash all the time and says, how can the Gemara say that Geirus requires three Dayanim? Absolute statement. Midaraisa, Belishim, Geirus needs three Dayanim. Mishpat Sivei, how do you know? So if you hold that all Dini Mamonos require three Minat Torah, then that statement is a true statement. But if you hold that there are cases of Dini Mamonos that don't require three Minat Torah, so then it's not a true statement. So how do you know? Maybe the Torah is comparing Geirus to the lower level Beis Din, the Beis Din for Hodos V'Avos. Maybe Chad Nam Kosher. Maybe one Dayan would be good enough. So that's the Kasha that appears in many, many places. So the Taka Samri Shayim said, Enochinam, there's an opinion that appears in Mishnah, so it's called such a possibility, and then the Mordechai called such a possibility. And Enochinam, and when Rabbi Yechon made the statement, the Geir Tzor Shlosha, Rabbi Yechon was of the opinion that all Dini Mamonos require three. But if you disagree with that, if you really truly hold that there are cases of Dini Mamonos that require one, then maybe Geir also is sufficient with one, maybe Kenzai. Now, even if that statement is true, then you then have to go determine, well, how do we pass in the Chesh Mishpat? Do we pass in 3 is good, or do we pass in 1 is good? So it's still a far cry to say that one diet would be good enough, but it's a possibility, it's a Pesach, to say that maybe one diet would be sufficient. But it's usually assumed, not like that opinion of the Rishonim, like Tosfos in most other places, and most of the other Rishonim assume in the Shulchan Aruch, it says clearly, notwithstanding all the lumdus, the bottom line is Ger Tzor Shlisha. We paskin the Ger does require Shlisha. So why is that Tavon? So Tosfos has different reasons why. How we figured out to be Makish, compare Ger with Tafka to the high level of Eisen, maybe Kulachum Lachum Makshina, that's one day in Tosfos. Tosfos tries to give other reasons, Acharon give other reasons, but all the dust and all the lumdus, the bottom line is Ger Tzor Shlisha. We almost find when days of Rishonim are ready that nobody's going to really entertain the possibility of having a Beis in Shlageiros with anything less than 3 actual Dayanim. There is a potential, maybe one can argue according to some Das Yachids, maybe Dayanecha would potentially be good, but again, conventional wisdom is not that way, and in terms of Pesach Halach, it's clearly not that way. So Allah Lemaisa, 3 Dayanim are necessary. But even when we talk about 3 Dayanim, Tosfos and Rabban and all the Rishonim raise another problem, is that we seem to be lacking the very basic criteria for being a Dayan. One of the basic criteria for being a Dayan, well, there are a few basic criteria. One of the basic criteria is to be samuch, to have a smicha, ishma piyash at Moshe Rabbeinu. So anyone who learns at Edwin is well aware of the fact that we don't have ishma piyash at Moshe Rabbeinu anymore, notwithstanding the wonderful smicha program that you all enrolled in. This is for the year-end, right?
Stamps.
Well,
stamps.
Yeah, I mean, that's but you get the picture. So we don't have the official, authentic smichish vision of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what right do we have to call ourselves Dayanim? Sometimes this raises that question. Does it say, wait a second, how in the world are we running a Geirus in this manner? Is that if we don't have the real authentic smicha? We're not mishpah. In the ever, the whole Geirus is bottle of water. So Tosfos has a few attempts to solve this problem. So Tosfos shows you that no, but we still have Geirus in this manner. The Gemara is talking about the Amaroyim and Mekabal Geirus, even though the smicha seems to have been gone already, we're still Mekabal Geirus based on what? So Tosfos has one possibility that maybe what we're doing is not that fundamentally different from any other dini Torah that we have this man as yet. The Gemara says in the Baba Kama and the Yadam says Gittin, that what right do we ever have to have any dini Torah? We don't have Dayanim Smuchin, so how dare us be might see Mammon from people Shlokid in? So the Gemara evokes the principle that's called Shlichu Sayu, the famous Sugya in the Yenis Sanhedrin, another place is called Shlichu Sayu, that we are acting as agent, we're acting as Shlichim on behalf of the Dayanim Mukhim. You know, the Dayanim Mukhim have been no longer alive for the last 1500 years. We're still somehow considered to be the shlichim of those Dayanim Mumkin. So Tosfos invokes that imagery and says, well, if Shlichusayah works, Lagabi Dinim Amidus, then it probably works Lagabi Geirus as well. So the Ramban, Masechet Yevamah, says that's a big, big jump, because maybe Shlichusayah was only a Dinmid Rabbanon, and a Dinmid Rabbanon can work in Dinim Amidus, because Dinim Amidus, we always have Hefkebez and Hefke to fall back on. And even though it's true, the Gemara does apply Shlichusayah for Gittin also, famous Gemara Peches and Gittin, talks about being Kaifa Gittin based on Shlichusayah, what right about the dinim sometimes, if they have the desire to do that, what right to Bezin ever have to be Kaifa to force somebody to give a get? After all, they don't have the Kach of a Bezin, in order to be Kaifa, somebody has to be a Bezin. So the Gemara says also Shlichusayah. So comes the Ramban Nivamas and says, Shlichusayah by Mamanis Zolda. Shlichusayah by Gittin also Zoza. Why? By Gittin is their eyes up. So Gittin, we can always fall back on our good old friend of Vavki Inu. But we all know, the Gemara tells us in a few places, that if the Chazal wanted to be Mavkiya Kedushin, so they could, if and when they would want to do so, they could. So the Ramban claims that maybe that's what they did, Bismanazah also. And whenever you have a Kfir and a Get, so Kfir and a Get doesn't really work, because we don't have the authority to be Kaifa, because we're not Smuchim. So the only way the Kfir and a Get really works for Atar is that it undoes the original Kedushin. The Ramban says, okay, so we can explain away Dinim Amnes, so we can explain away Gittin, but it's very hard to explain away Geirim, says the Ramban. How would the world could be Makabal Geirim if we're not qualified midaraisa? So what do you tell me? Midarabana? The guy's not Jewish midar. It's a very strange thing. The guy gets up to blow shofar for us. The gear gets up to blow shofar. No, you're not Jewish midaraisa, so you can't blow shofar. She asks that. Whoever heard such a thing, there's a gear midarabana, you'd be a Jewish, you're not Jewish. So it's very hard to believe, says the Ramban, that Hilchos Geirus is predicated on Shlichusayah, which is probably only midarabana midarabana. So the Ramban says, I'll talk about what is Geirus based on Bizman Azeh. So it's a throwback to what we spoke about already in the past. It's a famous pasuk, the famous word. The Torah says that the show must go on till Geirus. That was the source why you don't need a korban bizman hazeh, because the same Ribbono Shel Olam who knew that obviously there's going to come a time and there's no basic mikdash, and still said there's going to bring the korbanos, It must be that the Torah is telling us a chiddush, that whatever is impossible to attain in Mazgeirus is not ma'akev. So the Krupas and Karbonus is impossible to attain Bizman Hazeh, it's not ma'akev. The corollary of that is we don't have smicha Bizman Hazeh, so the standard of Mishpat is impossible to attain, therefore it's not ma'akev either. So that's what the Rabban says in Yevamos. And at the very end, the Rabban, almost as an afterthought, he says, but you know what? Maybe don't tell him. What, maybe Tais is right. Maybe it's really based on Shlichusayu. Maybe Shlichusayu is really their right. And kind of end of the story. That's it. So Rabban himself was, even though he was stuck against Tais at the beginning, he almost falls back on Tais also. So you have a few different Biurim in the Rishonim how this stuff works. The Rashba has another nuance of this. The Rashba says that, well, maybe Tach Nemra Locha. That's what the din was said when the Torah says Mishpat Ksivbe. So it never meant to say that a Geirus has to have all the qualifications of Dayanim. It just meant to say it has to have the Mishpat of Dayanim. It has to have three Dayanim. The fact that Dayanim are not Smukhin, that was never required. The Ramban and Tosfos were assuming that, yeah, you really do need Dayanim Smukhin. That's the real din. And we have to break ahead and figure out why we're getting away without that Bizman Hazeh. So Tosfos says Shmuel Messiah, when the Ramban says, the Rashi says, well, maybe the din was never given that way. Maybe the din was only given vis-a-vis the Mishpat of the Yonim, was never given the Gabi Smich altogether. So it's usually said over the, I suppose they quote in the name of the Rav, that the Rav suggested another beer, attributing this to the Rambam, that the reason why perhaps you don't require Smuchin for the Yonim is that it's really gone, right? But the fundamental question as to what the nature of Smich is all about. Why is it that the Torah says you have to have the Yonim Smuchin? Based on what? So the Rav developed the whole Yisoid in the like we showed him, the smuchin, the din in the gavra. Namely, this is one of the criteria for being a dayan. You have to have all your diplomas on the wall. So you have to be, Jewish, and you have to be a male, and you have to be on bar mitzvah, and you have to be samuch. So certain criteria that you have to have to define the gavra as a kosher to be a dayan. Is that the pshat? Yeah, that's the pshat. Pshat in smicha is that whenever you're giving a psak. So psach has to be backed up with something. I'm giving a psach. Someone comes to ask me a shayla, so I just stomp off the top of my head. Well, I can do that. But the psach has to be based on something. What's it based on? Maishi kibbutar mesidim. So Yeshua. It's based on when a psach is given by a rav. So it's given on the authority of Maishi kibbutar mesidim. He's a continuation of the mesavish. Rabbiyish and Maishi Rabbeinu. So the din of smicha is a requirement, not in the gavra hadayin. It's a requirement in terms of the shem psach. Now, not all piskei halacha require smicha. Like the certain areas don't. Somebody asks me, they forgot to see Alav Yavo, so I can answer that shayla even in the old days, even when they were there, I'm smoking around, so I don't have to run to the dying samoch to find out whether I have to say Alav Yavo or not. But other areas of halacha that require psach are tigin nefasha, tigin mamnis, tigin shechaydish, etc. Certain areas of psach require smicha. But what would the din be if you have a bezdin that's not wearing the hats of poskim, but wearing the hats of tayonim, namely, their role is not to paskin on the shayla. Their role is to be what we call an halacha ma'isa beis din. So if the halacha only requires a ma'isa beis din, well then, who said that you need smicha altogether? So the whole requirement of smicha was never on the radar screen, according to this understanding. So that's what the rough claim that the Dasaramam is. It occurs from Hatar Sedarim and Chalitz. Again, you have a whole part of Shul Torah now for now. That we have a beis din, the Torah's ma'isa beis din, not a beis din, the Torah's psach. There never was a requirement of smicha altogether. The role of the dayonim at a geirus is not to pass in shalosh. You have three guys who are kosher to be dayonim. If a shalosh comes up and pick up the phone and call by second up as geirus, the role of the dayonim at the serve is a representation of the ma'isa beis din. As long as all you need is ma'isa beis din, then you never needed smicha in the first place. So again, so you have a lot of different possibilities in the Rishonim. Why is it that we're mekabel geirim bizman hazeh? What gives us the authority to be mekabel geirim bizman hazeh? We're not smuchit. So the answer is either shlichusayu, follow the Seichem, or maybe that's Kach Nemar Alach Mursina or something, or they never needed smicha in the first place. At the end of the day, the common denominator of all the Pshatim is that Kabbalah's Geirus works. Kabbalah's Geirus very much works Bizman Hazeh, even though we don't have smicha. And yes, we require three, but simple reading of Rabbi Yechon, notwithstanding the fact that there may have been undercurrent in some Rishonim, we maybe get away with less than three, but that's not really acceptable. So three Dayanim, they don't have to be smicha, but they have to be Dayanim. But what do we mean when we say they have to be Dayanim? So presumably that means is, even though they don't have to be smuchin, they still have to have the standards of being kosher dayanim. So what does it mean to be a kosher dayanim? What are some of the standards of being kosher dayanim? So here, Chazal made it very easy for us. The Mishnah Masechet Nida tells us pretty much what the standards of dayanim are, and then some. So the Mishnah makes an equation, or whatever you want to call it, it's an equation, but a statement about the following statement of truth, that If a person is kosher, or backwards, if a person is disqualified from being an aide, so then you can't even discuss them being a dayan. Not it's like first day geometry. Not every aide is kosher to be a dayan, but anyone, but every dayan is kosher to be an aide. That's what the Mishnah says, right? So kolak kosher ladan kosher lahay. The ain kolak kosher lahay kosher ladan. You can have a few people here and there who are kosher to be aidim, but they're meeting some additional criteria of dayanus. But if and when you're possible to be an aide, then you're out of box. Then there's nothing to discuss. So who would be some people who are possible based on that principle? Who would be some people who are obviously possible to be aidim, so we cannot possibly discuss them being dayanim? So anyone learning Sanhedrin, anyone learning third breath of Sanhedrin, so we know. So you have a few people here and there who are possible to be aidim. Krovim are possible to be aidim. It's kind of hard to find a dayan who's going to be a karov to the ger. That's going to be really, really hard to do because the ger is not Jewish. When he becomes Jewish, so he's not related to anybody. So that's not going to happen here. Let's compare them a krovim to each other. That would be a problem. But what's a good example of somebody? So let's say you have a person who's a goy. So we assume that a goy is possible to be an aid. So Machalik's Rashi tells you that it's in their eyes, they're not one of them. But we assume a goy is possible, Moshe Shem say, he's possible to aid us in their eyes. And Eber Kanani, is possible to aid us in their eyes, according to everybody. So you can't have an Eber Kanani sit when you're based in the game. So maybe it's also not going to be that hard to figure out. According to, we'll talk about women a little bit later, but the most common scenario would be someone who's in Russia. So we know the Torah says, Atashis Yalchim Russia, Liyosim Chamos. So a Russian mission in Zed, those are Mashiach this year. So we're learning now. Hillel and Absulim. So you have a lot of people who are possible to be aiders, possible to be aiders because they're Rishayim in Halacha. How do you become a Rasha in Halacha? So you can become one of two ways of becoming a Rasha. So one is if what you are called is called a Rasha to Chamas. If you're someone who is dishonest in monetary dealings, you're a Ghana, if you're a Gazna, you're a business, whatever. Gavah Gazna doesn't just mean a guy who goes into a stick up in the bank. It means if you're playing around with your paperwork, press a couple of buttons on the computer and you steal $2 million, you're a Ghana, you're a Gazna, whatever we officially title we call you, so you would be possible to aid us with the rice because you're a Russian, the Hamas. So again, the corollary is if you possibly aid us, the definition of a chemer, you're possible to dayonis. And the Gemara has a Maseches and Ezra, like Zabai and Rava. Now, what if you have somebody who is not a dishonest person? He's a very, very honest person, he's just not religious.
In terms of the dishonest, let's say someone forgets sometimes to pay back someone, and then he's not doing it, but means that he just forgets, and he's not, does that make his puzzle?
No, if a person does.
And he doesn't pay back,
not
forgets about it sometimes.
Yes, can hold on to Chicago. There's a whole second thing about a person is Murrahetta. This is even better than Murrahetta. Again, Mamash forgets. So, nah, I don't think that makes a difference. He should try to be a little more careful and try to pay back his loans.
How close was the
car
from basically? How close is the
car
to be a
car? You got whole sugya in Sanhedrin about this. No. Very, very complicated sugya in Sanhedrin. So, the Dayanim shouldn't be relative.
First cousin, second, third.
First cousin should not be there.
And
second. Exactly, you have to read through the Gemara and Rishon and Shulchan Aruch. It's complicated. Din l'chashimish, but who's considered to be kosher l'edus? Okay. Once again, so then the Gemara is another type of a rasha. Once you have a person who is not a rasha l'chamas, he's not a dishonest kind of a person, but he's just not from. He violates mitzvahs, he violates averus. So the Gemara also talks about the possibility of him being possibly aedus. How many averus, what kind of averus does he have? It's a guy speaks Lashon Hara, so he's possibly aedus. That would make life very hard for us. So the Rambam writes in the Sanhedrin that if it's aedus, the Rambam writes that you have to be halakhically what's called a Rasha. That's the post of Tashas Yachim Rasha. So we only know two people who are labeled as Rishon and Halacha. Either a person who violates Yisurim Malkus, or a person who violates Yisurim Mises Beit. Malkus is very minikos of Russia and having his best show, Russia Lamos. Anyone who meets those titles of being a Russia, either in terms of Malchus or Misa, is automatically possible to be an aide. And Shabbos, aide's trade, right, with Shabbos, etc. So he does those things, obeys it, so then he becomes possible the aidus. So either one of those kinds of people would be possible the Bayonis as well. Let's say you have people who maybe you can't pinpoint a specific Aveira that they do. But they have machshavas, they have hashkafas, which is so off the wall that are considered to enter into the category of being apikarsim. So if a person is a kofim b'toira, a person is a kofim b'kadosh baruch, a person is kofim the kari hamuna, yuli kari hamuna, so such a person we assume is also considered to be possibly aedus. So you can have a lot of people like that. You have people who sometimes you can have a hashkaf that's off. Not every hashkaf that's off is automatically kfira. There are different, this is important for anyone to know, and do those geras, there are degrees. Sometimes there are different opinions about a lot of things. So sometimes you have different opinions. But with Mama saying, that's a real, real machloek. It's not a certain kuda. And it's hard for us to be machriya, which is libid hilchazah even. So those are considered to be, even if we are machriya, each opinion is considered to be a little different like Yimchayim. So you have some issues that both opinions are intrinsically emes. Then you have other kinds of issues in Torah where one opinion is emes, the other is mamashaker. Mamashaker, that was wrong. That's wrong. It doesn't mean it's a kfira. Just because you make a mistake, just because you have a clumsy thing about it, doesn't mean you're a kfira. It just means you're off. And then you have other opinions that imam are considered to be kfira, which is just off the wall. Off the wall, not just being wrong, but off the wall in terms of outside of the pale of Torah Hashkafa. If a person starts to subscribe to those kinds of opinions, then it becomes possibly a yes, it's possibly a yes, sure it's possibly a yes. Get back to this story. So you have a person who meets this criteria of being Rishayim, so then they obviously can't be an aide, so Kavach Omer, they can't be Dayanim in terms of Geiris as well. Fine. So we have the basic requirements as to who is a Dayan, it's not a Dayan, but now the basic, the fundamental question is what exactly is the role of Dayan, what is a Dayan supposed to be doing, what exactly is he supposed to be seeing, and what is not necessarily going to be seeing. So if you would have asked me, I would have said that what's the role of the Dayan? Well, whatever we spoke about in the first 2 weeks of those Geiris is ready. Week 3, right? The week 3 ready. So we already know what Geiris is. Geiris is Mila, Tvila, Zanam Rikish Korban, and Kabbalah Mitzvahs. We know exactly what Geiris is all about. And the Gemara says, Geiritzah Shloish Mitzvahs Ksivit. That means the Dayan's got to be there from A to Z. He's got to be watching and supervising everything. Otherwise, that's not called Geiris. That's what I would have said. That's the starting point of all the Rishon. But that's not the ending point of all the Rishon. Because there is a Gemara in the fourth parak of Yevamos that tells a very, very strange story, and it's hard to pin down exactly what happened in the story, multiple levels, but that story ultimately becomes the pivotal part of the sugya. What did the Dayanim have to do, what did they have to do? The Torah tells a story about there was a certain woman whose gavrus was questionable at first. Why it was questionable is also questionable. Whatever the problem was, there was some kind of a problem with the gavrus, and apparently the woman had not done a proper tevilah, whatever that means, and the shah was brought to the Amorim, and the pshat that was given was, well, this woman had subsequently gotten married, and she's subsequently a frum lady, and she's going to mikveh every month, even though she's going to mikveh b'toras nid, and not b'toras geiros. Well, no problem. Milo tablan nidusa. That's the magic phrase that Gemara says. Milo ravas, milo tablan nidusa. And she must have gone to mikveh every month. So she goes to mikveh every month, so that's okay. And that's also all right. So we don't have to worry about a geiros, and everything's fine. She's a geiros, kedas, everything is kabbalic. So come, all the Rishonim, everybody jumps in this Gemara and says, well, what just happened? The Gemara just said, Milo Tavla Medusa. So I don't understand. So she went to the mikvah. So you want to tell me that a Tvil L'Shem Nidus can double as a Tvil L'Shem Geirus? That's really a big chiddush. Because I would have said a Tvil has to be the Namish for the purpose of Geirus. That's really Hapitzara. We already spoke a little bit about a Milo L'Shem Mitzvah sufficing as a Milo L'Shem Geirus. That already we can be Makabo. But there's a big problem here, is that there are no Dayanim here. That how in the world do we let a tevila being done as the Torah needs it, if there's no basin sitting there, mikvah, washing, or going to the mikvah, how in the world could such a geiris be valid? That's a vikash, it tells everybody under the sun is involved with this kash. What happened? Where is the basin? The basin is missing in action, but the woman goes to the mikvah with Torah Tzitzit Nidah. If geiritzah shloish is really true, what's going on? So one of the more fascinating answers is given to this Akasha. It's quoted in the Mordechai. So the Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Simcha, who says that, what do you mean there's no Beis Din here? There's no Beis Din here. You just don't understand what the word Beis Din means. Beis Din means how many Dayanim? You think it means three? No. Beis Din is Chadam and Kosher. Don't you know that we paskin Hotolos Ravolos of Achad? And don't you know that when Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishpat Sibah, you need three, that was Rabbi Yochanan Shittasai, who held that Hotolos Ravolos require three? But we who suffice with Hodos, well, Hodos, and the Torah, the one, so we hold up Chad, Nami, Kasher. So, of course, there's somebody watching her go to the mikvah. You thought there were three, but it's not true. Really, only need one. That was the sheet in the Rishon I was referring to that has not been accepted, Lalach. One is accepted. The Mordechai quotes the sheet and he says, that's impossible. How do everybody say such a thing? Even a Nich, that's true, Chad, Nami, Kasher, But the chad has to be kosher to be a dayan. And he said, everybody knows that who in the world is watching this woman go to the mikvah lady? There's no man in the mikvah. The mikvah lady is watching her go down. So then how in the world can that suffice? Even when she tells her, then it's him to behold, the chad nami kosher, the chad nami has to be a man. Can't be a woman. A woman is supposed to be a dayan. So the whole thing is, the whole shot doesn't get off the ground. That's the kasha at the Mordechai says, leave the flight lights up here. But obviously, these Rishonim who had this idea, these Baliyat Taisis, the Mordechai is referring to, who had this very innovative answer to this dilemma, obviously were assuming something that were a little bit startling to us. Well, you know, be honest, we're between friends, so we're going to say it. So there is an opinion in Taisis, it does appear in other places, but Taisis presents the possibility that maybe a woman is shared to be a dayan, that the state, that a woman can't be a dayan. So clearly, this Mordechai, this sheet that Mordechai is referencing, is assuming that two of the B'chadushim. He's assuming Chad Nami Kosher, the Geiras, and he's assuming that Chad Nami can be a woman as well. And that's how we're saying Shad in this Gemara. So why do we find that so startling? Because it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Edus and Dayanus go hand in hand, and everybody knows that women of Psul Edus, that's not a starter. That's the first Mishnah of the fourth Rebbe Shavuos says explicitly that Shavuos Edus is Ohegus, B'ksherim Lo Psulim B'Anashim Lo B'Anashim. Gemara says, so nobody would ever say such a silly thing that a woman can be kosher to be an aid. So how can some Rishonim have one day to this claim that she's kosher to be a dayan? Doesn't the Mishnah link to do? So you have to really, really do surgery in the Mishnah. You have to revamp the Lashna Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, kol ha-kosher lo, la-dodin kosher lo, it doesn't mean everybody. It means almost everybody. Certain types of people, not referring to every single person under the sun, and there may be, all in the sense, certain exceptions to this mission. That's really quite a difficult shot. You have to really, really go out on a limb to say pshat in the Mishnah to defend this one day in Rishon. So, for us to say that, oh yeah, that's the answer to the Kodesh Avos and everything's hunky dory, that the reason why Milo Tavlan reduced us predicated on the assumption that Chad Nami Kosher, and the Chad Nami Kosher can be a woman and everything is Shalom Yisrael. So that's like Das Yochid Shebichidim Shebichidim. That's like the minority within a minority within a minority. Why? Because it's working with so many assumptions, of which none of the assumptions are accepted in Aloha. We assume that you need three Dayanim for Geiris. So we assume the whole thing is Dvar B'Tayim. So the whole Shul Torah is not correct. And we pass in Shulchan Aruch the day that says that a woman is shared to be dying. It doesn't even make it as the Yeshomrim. It hasn't been mentioned in 800 years. Until recently, no one ever heard of it unless you happened to bump into that Taisvah. You never would have ever knew that it even existed. So nobody holds it away. The only way the Yeshiva Brachim know that day is because Taisvah says to Kasha, what about the Vora? How about the Vora? Then sometimes you get there with some one Taisvah, another Taisvah, another Taisvah. The Taisvah explains why the Vora is not a Kasha. So in one of the Taisvah, and this Taisvah appears in Shas like five different places. In one place, it says, yeah, Tachinuch Anami, Vora was Tachin Dayan, because a woman could be a Dayanim. One out of 15,000 days in Taisus, there were a lot of Taisus, and one, somebody was screaming out, that maybe that's the answer. So that's not the way halacha works, contrary to popular opinion today. But, so to say that that's the Shad, the Gemara Yavamis, that Milo Tavla Yedus is relying on the Chad Nami Kosher, combined with the fact that the woman is the Chad Nami, that's taking two sheets, which are the Chuyas Lagamri Lalacha, combined together, making a straight space out of two sheets, that neither one of them was really accepted Lalacha Bechlal. So that's probably not the route that we want to go down. We want to go down the more conventional ways, and try to understand what is really going on with him. What does he really mean, Milo Tavla Yedus? So Taisus, and Yavamas quotes another answer from Yeshua Fargono, who said that some of the Taisus give another interesting idea. The Taisus says that you really, really require three Dayanim. You have Emes require three Dayanim, and three Dayanim have to be men, and you have them. They're right here. They see exactly what's going on. Not in the mikvah. How do they see what's going on? So says Taisus, they know for a fact that this woman is from. The woman's walking around as a frum woman. She comes to shul every Shabbos. She keeps kosher. She's walking around in the shade. That we know she's keeping tarmitz. She's a married woman. So everybody, half a brain figures out she must be going to the mikvah every month. So they know that she's going to the mikvah. Did they see her go under the water? No. But they know that she's going to the mikvah. That's what's called in halacha, Eidus Yediyah B'Le'Ra'iyah. I know something to be a piece of information to be true, to be accurate, without having actually visualized it myself. Says, hey, that's good enough. That's okay. Eidus is Yivalariya, that also qualifies as an Eidus on his purposes as a Dayanos, and this is a Geirus Mishnei Beisdin. So unlike the first day of Taisus that's finagling down and saying, no, the Beisdin is the one woman present in the mikvah, Now, here Taisa is saying, the Beis Din is weak, all of us, all the Christ, so all the people who are looking at this Tefillah B'Mikvah, not literally, not mamish, but figuratively look at this Tefillah B'Mikvah through the eyes of Yediyah B'Lariyah. That's Taisa's other answer, the Yesh
B'Farsh. Based on that, that would mean that there needs to be a Mikvah during the time of Geirus, and the Beis Din is just standing outside the door.
That way we got a while to go. Okay, we got a while to go to see what the practical implications of some of these two differences. We have to get the background to see where we're coming from. Okay? So this is a popular answer. It's only popular because it made it into the studies of the Yesh Mefarshim. But this answer is not such an innovative concept in Halacha. It's innovative in Hilchos Beis Din, but it's not so innovative in Hilchos Eidos. Now, Eidos and Dayonos are not exactly the same, but there are similarities. This idea, we have a similar kind of an idea in Hilchos Eidos. The Gemara, famous Gemara of Maseches Gittin, has this idea of Hilchos Eidos, of sometimes when it comes to Kedushin, particularly Kedushin Bia, so we're not going to have Eidim Mamish watching the Maisa Bia. That's not going to really happen. The Gemara talks about principles called Heine Eidi Yichud, Heine Eidi Bia, Eidim the most of the most knows. If you have quote unquote Eidim or the community who are fully aware that a man and a woman are having Bia L'Shem Kedushin, even though nobody actually saw it, that will qualify as a Bia L'Shem Kedushin on a level of Deraisa. Woman's going to be an Eshazesh Deraisa. She's going to need to get Medaraisa. If we can say with certainty, we know Be'edus Yediv L'Ariyah that there was a Bia L'Shem Kedushin. Now, that statement that does exist in Halacha, what was Eidus Kedushin, became a major, major controversial point in terms of Bizman Hazeh, how exactly that plays out. You know, in the old days, you know, people were, not everyone was always as firm as they could be, but Gemara was talking pretty much about people who are within the realm of Hashem Torah Mitzvahs. He's talking about Reuben and Rachel who are based in Hashem Torah Mitzvahs, and now they're going into a room together, and we have reason to believe that they're having Bia together. What leads us to believe that? Because maybe at one time they were married to each other and they were divorced. So we have reason to suspect that they may be going to have Bia together, and not just to suspect, but we can say with pretty much certainty they're having Bia together. So we have to make an assessment: are they doing it l'shem kedusha? Are they doing it l'shem znus? We have a rule: either the must be l'shem znus, for a regular firm person, if he has a choice to do Bia l'shem kedusha, l'shem znus, he inevitably is going to do l'shem kedusha. So the Gemara says, again, assuming that we have all this information and our heads clear, that we could really say with certainty there was a Maisa Bia that took place and we didn't see it, so then we can make the next jump and we can say, in the most of the Bia L'Znus. That was a big machlokes, what about this Maisa Bia? When we may know that they're having Bia, that may be true, but we have no reason to assume they're doing the Shem Kedushin. Why not? Maybe that Chazok, in the most of the Bia L'Znus, doesn't apply. Why doesn't it apply? But these are people who are Mechala Shabbos eating treif and violating Taras Meshpacha. So all of a sudden, the only issue in the Torah that the Machpin is the Ponebol. That's the only thing that interests them. It's probably not to Machpin in that either. So then, who says that they're doing the Shem Kedushin? That was the famous Machpin Meshpacha. Thank you. This is a big issue of secular marriages and, you know, not for Kedushins. You know, how much you have to be concerned if a couple is living together, the husband and wife. So do we have to assume that, well, there is a Bielship, we know the marriage, they're living Mr. and Mrs. Plenty or my next door neighbors, so I know they're obviously having beer together. So do I have to say, well, in the most of people is no. Some Muslim said yeah, and the woman said yeah. And the boy said, hell, the Ikimikra did not, because if the woman doesn't go to the mikvah, she's not, they're not from, so then what do you mean? You know, there is no Umdur Dmucha. So that idea of having an English people re-exist in Halacha, Taisa just took it one step further and plugged it into his page then as well. So Rav Moshe has in one of his very famous truvas, he brought this Taisus down the world of Lamaisa, not of his Geras, but in all areas of his Kashrus, of his Chol Yisrael. So the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to drink milk from a goy unless the juice or being milk. It's a fresh Mishnah. Sometimes people say they're not makbid on Chol Yisrael. One of them means you're not makbid on Halacha. The Mishnah says that you have to have Yisrael or Eyo. So what do you mean? If you have to have Yisrael or Eyo, what do you mean you don't have Yisrael or Eyo? So Elisha said that everybody agrees you have to have Yisrael or Eyo. It's just that you could redefine what Eyo means. Well, Eyo doesn't mean with your own two eyes. Eyo means if you know. If you know that something is true, so that seeing is believing. So believing is seeing, I guess. That's the principle. So if I know that this is true, so then I could say that I saw the movement process. So I fulfilled the Lashon HaMishnah of Yisrael or Eyo. So Elisha says, how do you know that it's true? Who told you that it's true? So Elisha says, because you live in America. In America, you have Department of Agriculture, and their job is to make sure, one of the many jobs, to make sure people don't tamper with the milk supply. And if somebody's going to all of a sudden start putting pig's milk into their cow's milk, so they're going to get fined. They're going to be on the front page of the newspaper. There's going to be a disaster. They have to pay millions of dollars in fines. So So no one was sugar. What dairy farmer in America in 2016 is ever going to put, he's going to run a little short on milk, because he's going to go bring his next door neighbor's a pig and stick some of the milk in. First of all, the next door neighbor doesn't have a pig. He said, go to the Bronx Zoo and get a pig to put the milk in. It's never going to happen. She said, this is never going to happen. So it's Kibbutz, you know. It's Kibbutz, you saw it. What's the difference whether you're standing, there's a guy standing there with a long white beard who's watching the milk and saying, I saw the milk. Pasha, it's Chol Yisrael, signs off on it, it's Chol Yisrael, Tachas the Sach, Tachas the Bonim. What's in between that? And if you have, what are they saying? The Fetish Meal tells you the same thing. Who's Fetish Meal? Fetish Meal. Uncle Sam tells you the same thing. The government, the United States government tells you the same thing. At the milk, it's Russia, somebody she wrote. They thought that was okay. So to bring a riot to that idea that Ages of Yavlari is good, he calls this Yeshua Farsh Matosis. The Bashit dug up there when he was learning Yavama, so he thought of Chol Yisrael when he saw this Tosis. It's fine. So these are some of the interesting answers to try to solve this problem. So Tosfos then goes on to quote.
Well, this whole question is also about the feeling of how she had made this on the feeling thing, because the case was where she did it already for neither, right? So the same issue would apply to feel when we told them to do feeling.
Yeah, but this
not
is
just that this happened together and trying to figure out how to be okay after.
I mean, would we run a gamers like that? I'm not sure, but in terms of Mikra, then so the gamers would be good, according to the Yeshua function. But then Tosis quotes what became the very, very popular answer that made its way into Shulchan Aruch. But Tosis writes the following. Tosis says, you know, maybe we're working with a misunderstanding. Maybe we had a certain premise about something that was not Jewish. When we started the sugya a few minutes ago, we said, Geret Tzor Shloisha, you need three dayanim to wash the gamers. So I asked you, what's called washing the gamers? So I didn't really ask you because I didn't really want any answers, but I told you what the answer is. But whatever we learned the first 2 weeks, it's called the Gerus, so the Mila, Tvila, the whole nine yards. So he comes to Titan and says, nah, that doesn't really make any sense. He says, what do you need a basin to wash the Tvila for? Tvila applies in Kalatar Kula, there's Tvila Sita, there's Kayla, there's Tara, there's Tara, the work is there. But you tell okay, you bring a basin to wash for Kayla, you go put the Kli in, you take it out, try. A person goes for Tefillah Sharetz and wants to come to Tamid. That doesn't make any sense. What are you bathed in for? The only part of Geirus that makes any sense to acquire a bathed in, what does bathed in usually do? Bathed in are really good at interrogating. They're good at asking questions. They're good at getting information. That's the role of bathed in. Taisa says there's only one part of it was Geirus that lends itself to that role of bathed in. That is Kabbalah Mitzvahs. What's Kabbalah Mitzvahs? Questions. You've got to extract information. As we learned last week, to work really hard to extract the right information. Basically, I'd ask the guy, are you planning on keeping Shabbos? You have to explain to him what Shabbos is. I say, yeah, you have to look him straight in the eye. Same way, you have to look the Balei Din in the eye, look Adam in the eye, and try to get assessed with the Emes. That's Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So Tosha says that the only part of Gevurah that they really truly think requires a Beis Din, really be a Din, is only Kabbalah Mitzvahs. The Tevila, man, the Vila, man. What do you need a basin for? There's no real need for a basin. Now, Tosis has to tone this down a little bit, because the Gemara does describe the basin meaning of tefillah. The Gemara in Yevamos, the fourth parak, gives you the standard procedure for how to run a Geirus in five of these steps. So in the Hamadrich for Geirus, he's going to tell you, make sure there are dayanim watching. That's what the Gemara says, the Feirish. So Tosis said, that's the chatchila. That's the chatchila. You should have basin there for the whole thing. But for the Yevet, and the Torah, and the Raisa, there is a cost of Gerzah Shloisha was only said on the Gemara Mitzvahs. That's Taisish. The Rosh, many, many Gedolei Rishonim give that answer. Now, there's a tremendous, not tremendous form in the sense that others don't agree to this, but this sheet is a Taisish, which may very well be the Levi Paschim, 2 days of Shulchan Aruch. According to many, we actually pass it like this. This, of course, leads a tremendous amount of strength to what principle of Gerzah that we spoke about last week, Gemara Mitzvahs. Because remember last week, we couldn't even pin down exactly where Kabbalah Mitzvahs comes from. You know, Tosfos talks about it, the Gemara talks about it, the Rambam talks about it, everyone talks about it, but we couldn't quite know for sure where it comes from. So then we had the Rambam Shita, the Rambam says it's not part of the procedure of Geirus, it's the Etzem HaGeirus itself. We suggest maybe the Nasa Nishma, we're almost looking for, trying to find the Kairos for Kabbalah Mitzvahs. But one thing is certain, according to this Tosfos, is that it's Deraisa, Mishma Akiv. Because according to Tosfos, when the Gemara says Geretzah Shloisha Mishpat Ksivbei, according to Tosfos, the whole Gzeres Kos of Mishpat was only said in Kabbalah Mitzvahs. When the Gemara says Pamola that Mishnah is Gai Benol Ben Atzvah Eino Gamin Deraisa Geres is Batul Mavutul Garnish Nothing. So according to Tosfos, that whole sugya is talking about Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So then the Gemara is telling us Tamole, that Kabbalah's mitzvah is an absolutely kufa for the Raisa. So you may like this Tosis because it's a little bit of a cooler, because he just chiseled away the role of Beis Din in other parts, but it just gave a tremendous degree of strength to the realm of Kabbalah's mitzvah. So again, we're not here to give strength and weaknesses to different areas of Halacha. Just be aware of the fact that this Tosis has ramifications outside of our particular discussion. So we have a few different Biurim in the standard Biurim in the Rishonim as to what exactly, what aspect of Geirus are we talking about when we're talking about Mishpat? What exactly is the Beis Din supposed to see? So all the other Rishonim were asking the Kasha, all the Rishonim were bothered with the Kasha, where's the Beis Din for the Tefillah? Maybe it's one woman who's watching the Tefillah, maybe it's Anan Sadi that we know that there's a Tefillah taking place. All those Rishonim who are trying to search for where's the Beis Din of the Tefillah were assuming that Mishpat Ksiv Beis Chal on everything. It's Chal on the whole thing, even including the Tefillah. It was only Tosfos now who was suggesting a Chiddush Gadol. Tosfos was saying, no, maybe the whole thing is not true. Maybe the whole premise was not correct. Maybe the din of Mishpat Ksiv Beis was only said in Kabbalah Mitzvahs, who was never really said, at least the Rais, at least not the Kuvah, the Chachim, maybe not really Mikra Din on the Tefillah and the other parts of the Geirus. You have a major, major Machlek Yisur Bishay. But what's emanating from this sugya is that no matter how you pull the sugya, some cool is going to emanate from the sugya. Because the Gemara did say something that we didn't expect it to say. Before this line of the Gemara, we thought this case, if you would have asked me how to posture this case of the woman who messed up her first tefillah, now we have no idea what's going on, I would have said she needs a new tefillah. And the Gemara didn't say that. So there's got to be some cooler to explain that. Either the cooler is the one woman's good, that's the other cooler. Or the cooler is, you don't really have to see it as long as you know what's going on, it's also good. Or Tosis cooler, that, well, it's all right, because you don't really need days in the kufa, except for Kabbalah Mitzvah. So, no matter what, we were expecting cooler, we got a cooler. So everyone should be very happy. We got a cooler out of this Gemara. Not so fast. Because if you look at the Rambam, in the Surah, when the Rambam referenced this Gemara, so you immediately realize that there is no cooler. Because this Gemara didn't say anything in any shape or form of what we thought it said. So we thought, we totally misunderstood the Gemara. We thought what the Gemara means is that there was this woman who had not tefilled appropriately. The original tefillah, original Geirus ceremony was not done correct for whatever reason. And then over the last 20 years she's been going to the mikvah. And the Amoraim just waving it in and saying, yeah, Shema, don't worry about it. The last 50 tefillahs that she went to, one of them was good. As long as it was one of the milas, everything was fine. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara. So the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, if you have a woman, we thought she converted, and now we can't track down where exactly she converted. We were up in the air exactly, some kind of a peak book. We can't quite pin down who was supervising that first Geirus. And the Rambam writes, and now this woman has been in front of us, she's been living in our community for 20 years, and she's been going to the mikvah, she's been mafresh challah. The Rambam says, we can assume that she probably had a good Geirus. I'm learning this Geirus, and Rambam's telling me about taking those challah off your... If your pizza, she's mafreshchal. So what's clear from the Rambam? The Rambam is learning that this tefillah of Milo Tavlo Medusa is not the tefillah of Geirus. This is a raya that there must have been a tefillah of Geirus at one time. Yet we don't know for sure there was a tefillah of Geirus. We thought there was a tefillah of Geirus. We got a little mixed up. We can't quite track down the dayan. We don't know any shtad, etc. We're trying to figure out what. So the Rambam says there's a chazok in halacha. And if the woman has been strong, she's doing everything right. She's going to the mikvah, she's keeping Shabbos, she's mavishcha, she's saying tehillim, she's dressed appropriately. I'm just adding in the Rambam. Everything that makes it look like everything is all right, then we can safely assume she's most probably really truly Jewish. And when was her tefillah? The tefillah was nida. Where was the tefillah? 20 years ago, 22 years ago, before she, there must have been at some point in history a real kosher to a Geirus. I really think, I don't know, we have no idea where they are. We can't track down the information, but all of the above is a raya that there must have been a tefillah at one time. If that's the pshat of the Gemara, that just took a big cooler right out and threw it out the window. There is no cooler. The Gemara never said that one dying is good enough and that one dying can be a woman. The Gemara never said that Atrisi Diabloriya is good enough. The Gemara never said that you only need the Yohanim for the Kabbalah Semitzit Lohayit Bariyot. None of those statements are true. There is no Gemara. You only need a cooler if you think the Gemara exists. If you deny, the existence of the Gemara. Exactly the people. But you accept the Gemara, but you totally misread the Gemara. So then there's no kula whatsoever. Yeah, okay, so that would be a whole different kind of a potential kula, right? That would be potentially true. The only problem is that even the Rambam himself says, if you go back to the continuation of the Gemara, so the Gemara talks about those kind of quasi-raiyas as to who's Jewish may not work if you want to actually get married. If you want to almost be, you know, part of the Jewish community, maybe we'll almost look the other way, but not if you actually want to get married. And the other question becomes, what the Rambam is telling us, this is not an absolute statement of truth. This is just a chazakah that this is probably what happens, and that may potentially be subject to different kinds of change at some time and place. If we have society where we know that there are a lot of strange things going on in Gerus, we know there are a lot of people who are being regarded to push lucky, and we know there are a lot of fake Gerus floating around, then to turn around and say, well, the person was duped 20 years ago, and now they've been a member of the shul, so everything is okay, that's not an absolute truth anymore, but they're out. Went to a base, and that was a reputable base, and at one point was actually MacGyver. I mean, even though we're not quite sure what happened, we can't pin down exactly what happened, but it was probably done Kedas HaChadim. It's a riot that it was done Kedas HaChadim. So it's also not clear what exactly the suffix was. It's not 100% clear what exactly the litus of suffix was originally. Okay, so how does all this play out in terms of Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch, both of these versions are quoted, in the sense of everybody agrees Geitzer Shlosha. Right? We're not going to get away with one, not going to accept women, that doesn't make the Shulchan Aruch. Geitzer Shlosha, but just how much of Geitzer Shlosha, whether that only refers to the Tvila, or whether it only refers to the Mosar Mitzvahs, whether it refers even to the Tvila. So in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted. How do we postulate the Pesachim, right? Suffolk Geirs, Suffolk Deraisa. If you have a person that Lu Yitzuya converted only using the standards of Kabbalah Savitzvahs, and the Tevila itself is not done in the presence of the Beis Din, so it's true according to one day in Tosfos, the person that the evidence is Jewish, but according to the other day in Tosfos, the person is not necessarily Jewish. So this is not something we want to take lightly. We don't want to say, well, it's one day in Tosfos and then call it a day. The Rambam didn't learn the Gemara Bechlal that way. The other day in Tosfos didn't learn the Gemara that way. Other Rishonim didn't learn the Gemara that way. So just to say we're going to take it lightly like that is very, very risky to say. In Shulchan Aruch, it's presented as 2 days. 2 days in Shulchan Aruch is usually translated from Isa to mean a spake of the Diva. So we're gonna assume halacha that no responsible basin today is going to be Megayer people and just say, well, no big deal. It's only Tevila. So what's the big deal between friends? What do we need a basin of Tevila for? What are you basing the Tevila for? But they have to be showing him the person is still a Goy Gomer with another basin of Tevila. But now one could perhaps touch upon an akuda. I don't have time to finish this, but we'll just throw up a shayla. What if we're not going to take the attitude that, well, we're not going to require a basis of tefillah altogether, but we're going to use a quasi-basis of tefillah. We're going to use a basis of tefillah that doesn't quite see the tefillah itself, that the basin is present, and they think that there's a tefillah going on, they hope, they know, whatever words you want to use, but they didn't actually visualize, didn't actually see with their own two eyes. So can we sanction such a Beis Din for Tefillah, similar almost to the Yeshua Farshim does?
Isn't there like a Mishnah somewhere in Israel that if you were like, let's say you have to be Matbil Amei Haaretz, that as long as you take them to the cave and like they agree, your level of like what's Tumah, what's Tameis, that what's Tumah and what's Haaretz, and then you could assume that they went in, does that play a role in this?
So the problem is that it could be that the role of the Beis Din for Geirus is not just to assume that something happens, but it could be, it's almost like an Eidus Lekima Dover, like, is that just enough for us to know? Except if you hold it that Yisra Farsh, we have to mama see it. So maybe seeing is believing, maybe other ways of ascertaining is not necessarily believing. I mean, we had a Yisra Farsh that said that, but it was only Yisra Farsh, not everybody said that. So this opens up the possibility, we'll talk about it, so we'll start with this next week. This opens up the possibility of, can the Beis Din perhaps not literally be standing there and watching? Could they be very close by to be fully aware of what's going on, would that be sufficient or not? So, we'll talk about that. We move on to other issues relating to the moment.